You know, God never ceases to amaze me. I was considering us not doing any more messages in All In, and God had already given me more messages. And, you know, there's still more to come. And he told me, no, I gave you the messages. It's, you need to preach them. So this, you know, we're going to continue in All In on Mother's Day today. And, you know, I think today, the title of the message today is A New Perspective. A New Perspective. She'll put it on the screen for you. You know, a mother, I heard Dale pray a few moments ago about a mother's love. And whenever we think about that, it is one of the closest things that you'll ever experience to God's love for you. You know, I think that a mother can encourage a daughter or a son in a way that changes their perspective. I don't know how many times you've experienced this in your life, but I've seen it. My mother has changed my point of view many, many times. But I'll tell you, there's something special about a mother's love, and there's something special about a mother's encouragement and a mother's words. You know, a mother can speak to her son or her daughter and, you know, remind them to be proud, or remind them that they're beautiful, remind them that they're loved, remind them that they're safe. You know, if you ever experienced that when you were as a child, may have been scared, or maybe as your children are scared in the room, and a mom can go and almost immediately convince, right, that it's okay. You know, that you're going to be fine. You know, a mother has that control to change a perspective on a situation, or maybe an influence, an outside influence in your life. And a mother has a powerful way of changing our perspective. Amen?
Amen.
A mother is powerful. Only a mom can change a perspective that way, I believe. But I think that today, that God intends today for mothers to have a new perspective. And even the fathers that are in the room, if you're taking notes, that's the first note I'd like for you to write down. That I believe that God intends today for mothers to have a new perspective. Just like mothers are so good at giving children a new perspective, I think our Heavenly Father, and listen, the men in the room, this message is for you as well, but especially mothers. If you have your Bible today, I'd love for you to turn to Luke chapter 10 and verses 38 to 42. And it's amazing how, you know, Miss Amy got the song that was given to her by God. You know, he gave her that song, and y'all, that song so fits this message. That song is perfect about, you know, the perspective that God wants us to have, but also going in to the presence of Jehovah, going into the presence of Almighty God, that we are supposed to be in His presence, and we should feel differently when we are. That when we are in His presence, that things change. That, listen, our perspective on this life, that whenever we are in the presence of God, that everything in our lives change. Come on, Bob. Thank you. Can I get a witness from the congregation?
Come on.
If you've been there, then you know it. You know, whenever you lean on Him, when you ask God, God, give me your perspective, He'll change your life. He'll change your heart. Well, Martha and Mary is the message that God gave me about being all in. And we all know that, you know, Martha and Mary are there, and it's at Martha's house, and Jesus has come. He's traveling through, but as he comes there, he loves them, and he goes to their house. And while he's there, this is what happens. If you would stand with me and honor God's word, we're going to read Luke chapter 10. Verses 38 to 42. While they were traveling, he entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary, who also sat at the Lord's feet and was listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, and she came up and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone? So tell her to give me a husband, to give me a hand." And the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has made the right choice, and it will not be taken away from her." You may be seated. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just pray that you could just let us all take a deep breath. That, Father, right now that we would be able to come into your presence, that we would be able to hear from you. And, Father, I just pray that you would speak to our hearts through this message. As you were speaking to Martha, that you would, Father, speak to us as well. That you could show us that, Father, we need to come into your presence, that we need to listen and we need to learn. And, Father, I just pray that you could give us a new perspective this morning. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, God knows our hearts. He knows our thoughts. He knows our worries. You know, I want to tell you, just to give you a kind of a... And the Bible doesn't tell us everything that you need to know about the circumstances that are going on. But listen, we all live life. I mean, even on this very day, on Mother's Day, I imagine that almost everybody in this room is going to some kind of a function today. You know, that there's some kind of a preparation, that there's going to be some kind of a get-together, that we're going to honor, right, the mothers in our lives. And you can imagine Martha and Mary, look, they had a brother as well, Lazarus, and they loved Jesus. You can imagine, look, in their, he was very special to them, and Martha and Mary are actually in different accounts of the Gospels many times. Martha and Mary are well known. But here's the thing. In this particular story, Martha's house is the one where it's going to take place. And can you imagine? Now, let's just take it there for a minute, because a lot of times Martha doesn't get any credit, okay? A lot of people beat Martha up. But listen, in reality, Martha is hosting our Lord and Savior for a meal. Amen. Come on, can I get a witness? I mean, listen, can you imagine what's going through her mind? I mean, it doesn't say in here how many guests that she's going to have or how many people are coming over, but I imagine there's going to be at least 12. Amen? Amen. There's going to be a group of people. Can you imagine that there's also going to be some people coming that are maybe that live around her? Right, there's going to be some people that are coming that may know Jesus. This ain't the first time. Martha and Mary are friends of Jesus. They are followers of Christ. And Martha is excited. She's glad to see a friend, and she's glad. But listen, in our lives, it's the same thing. Right, I can imagine even my wife this morning. I wasn't there. We were out running around doing things, trying to take care of things. And even today, I'm sure Shannon was straightening the house knowing that we're having people coming over. You know, in our lives, we think that things have to be perfect. We all know what that's like. It's like, you know, what's a house going to look like? What's the food going to look like? What are we going to drink? What's the places going to look like? When, you know, where's everybody going to sit? Right? Well, is the temperature going to be okay? You know, is everybody going to be hot when they get here? You know, what's it feel like outside? Do you think people will sit outside or are they going to sit in the house? Right? There's all these things that are going through our minds. And in our lives, the story is not just about the ladies in this room, because fellas, we do the same thing. You know, we're a lot of times we're thinking about what we look like on the outside. And we can be tore up and never get it right. Right? She's tore up about all the things that she believes matters. But Mary is sitting there on the other side. Mary's sitting there, and she's sitting at Jesus' feet, and she's sitting there in his presence, and she's just soaking it in. But over here, Martha's worried. And listen, they're both believers now. I want you to hear this too, that they both love Jesus. They both are followers of Christ. We're not talking about one of them that's not saved and one of them that is saved. We're talking about two believers, but one of them is sitting at his feet, And she is soaking and basking and listening to what he says. And the other one is worried about the things of the world. She's worried about how much food is there. Are we going to have a good mixture? Right? Is everybody going to be happy when they get here? But Jesus, I love what he says. He tells her, he says, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things." Amen. You know, I don't know about you or where you are in your life this morning, but I want to speak to you for a moment about where you are and about the, you know, when it says, "Martha, Martha, you're worried about many things," and you're probably a believer of Christ, I'm sure this morning. You're here because you are here pursuing him in your life. But listen, you may be that person that's worried about many things. Jesus is trying to tell you this morning through his word in red letters. It's telling you, you may be worried about many things, but those things aren't getting better by your power. You know, I don't know if you're one of those people who loses sleep. You know, it seems like that the enemy can make us worry about not only the functions in our lives, not just like today and Mother's Day, but there's things every single day in our lives that we worry about. And you may lay in your bed at night sometimes losing sleep over you fill in the blank. You know, I don't know what that is. It might be finances. It might be your marriage. It might be your children. It may be your health. It may be friendships in your lives, but listen, you may be worried about many things, and it may be a function. You may be a person just like Martha that's up worried about those things that, you know, of some kind of a fish fry next week. I mean, I'm as guilty as anybody. Matthew chapter 6, verse 30. I love the account as Jesus is teaching in the Sermon on the Mount. And he's talking, and it's called the cure for anxiety. We need not worry. In Matthew 6, verse 30, he says, "If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and thrown in the furnace tomorrow, won't he do much more for you, you of little faith?" You know, I love that. He continues in the Sermon on the Mount and telling us that we need not worry about what we're gonna wear, what we're gonna eat. He tells us to seek first the kingdom of God, and all of these things will be added to you as well. Right? To seek first the kingdom. Don't worry about those things. But I have a lot of things I worry about, but I even worry about the grass of the field sometimes. You know, I love that he talks about that, but I have a lot of trees that I've planted at my house. And at this time of year, there is beautiful things happening in the springtime. Don't you love spring when all the flowers are coming up and all the trees are blooming? I mean, it's beautiful outside. God is just doing work all around us. And that's what Jesus is saying. Listen, if the grass of the field grows and you see all these buds and blooms that are beautiful, and if God dresses those, he says, even the king in all of his splendor is not clothed like one of these. Amen. How much more so will he care for you? So this morning, if you're worried about these things, if you like Martha are worried about the things of the world, God wants to give you a new perspective. If you let him, he will give you a new perspective, and something amazing will happen. The worries in your life, the anxieties in your life, the lust and the cravings of your life, maybe even some of the obsessive like tendencies that you have. And I don't know if y'all have any of those, but I have more than one. Like, you know, I have these things where I want everything in a certain place, and I get OCD about certain things, and you know, I let life overwhelm me in certain capacities. But if we let him, if we stop worrying about things, just like those trees I was mentioning a minute ago. You know, I was worried about these crepe myrtle trees that I planted last year. We put, you know, maple trees down this fence row and magnolia trees down this fence row, and then we planted Crepe myrtles in between, and it, you know, I'm worried about whether or not these. I'm like these trees hadn't come back yet. Are they going to die? Are they, you know? And here I am, and sure enough, I looked over it the other day, and the prettiest green leaves are coming out the top of them crepe myrtles, and I'm like, what am I worried about?
Amen.
What am I worried about? But Martha and Mary, she's at Jesus' feet. And Martha's over here tore up, buddy. She's probably fixing things. She's washing things, right? She's cutting things, right? And the whole time she's over here, she's looking back over here at Mary. And she's like, I can't believe she'd sit over here. Here I am, I'm doing all this. And here I am, I'm doing that. And here I'm making all these preparations. And she doesn't care. She ain't helping set the table. She's not doing this. She, you know, she probably doesn't even, she's not even thinking about all things that need to happen. She doesn't even care. And she turns to Jesus and she says, Jesus, will you please tell her that all the disciples are coming and all of the people around here. And Jesus, you know all the people that are coming. Don't you care? Can you not tell Mary to get up and help me do all these things? And Jesus, you can imagine what he's thinking. He's looking at her and he's saying, honey, all that stuff's going to be fine. All those people. I mean, and that's one thing, you know, the people will come to your house today and the things that are bothering you, they could care less about.
Amen.
You know, I'll tell you this morning, if that's you, if you're that person that's worried about all these things rather than sitting at the feet of Jesus, right, you can worship at His feet or you can stress out in the street. Right? I mean, listen, we have a choice today that we can be one or the other and we can worship at Jesus' feet or we can stress out in the street. I want to tell you, listen, there's two different people. I want you to look at the contrast in their lives. Right? Mary and Martha are both believers, but listen, here is Martha over here overwhelmed with all the things that need to be done. And then here's Mary at Jesus' feet and she's overjoyed.
Amen.
You see it? Here she is, she's frantic, right? She is frantic. She's looking at the clock, and then here Mary is at Jesus' feet, and she is serene. She's as calm as she can be. Martha is dissatisfied, totally dissatisfied, and Mary is completely satisfied. Martha, listen to this. This is probably the best one. Martha is in the presence of the Lord, but she's not enjoying it. But Mary is basking in the presence of the Lord.
Amen.
Right? Okay, I'm going to say it backwards here. Mary is basking in the presence of the Lord, and Martha is in the presence of the Lord, and she's not even enjoying it. Do you see it? It's like we have the opportunity. He wants to change our perspective. He wants our perspective this morning. He wants to change our perspective on the worldly things. As we sit and or we even lie down in bed at night and we worry about our marriage or our children or our health or our friendships or our finances, listen, God wants you to change today. Today, He wants our perspective to change. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Philippians 4, 6 and 7 says, do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, bring your request to the Lord, and the peace which transcends all understanding. The CSB says surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. If you know that's true, say amen.
Amen.
Right? That Philippians 4, 6 and 7 says, don't worry about anything, but in everything. Right? Quit worrying. Right? The Martha in us, I believe that, and I know that the Word of God is not talking bad about Martha and Mary. It's saying that they're both believers. But listen, it takes both of us. So a lot of times, you know, Steve will look at me, he'll say, quit Martha. Stop Martha. He does that to me all the time. But he's right. He's right. Listen, I am Martha a lot of times. And it takes both of Martha's and Mary's in the world. So listen, let me talk about that for a moment. It takes Martha's and Mary's. It takes both. Martha, whenever Lazarus was dead in the tomb, it says when Jesus finally arrived, he waited a few days, and that's the only place that uses the word stinketh in the Bible, in the King James. Right? Martha comes outside, and look, Mary stays inside. See, Martha's gung-ho. Martha's the one that runs and walks in faith. She's the one that's up cooking. She knows all the people are coming. She is full of faith. She loves Jesus, right? When Jesus finally shows up and he's going to raise their brother from the dead. The Bible says that she runs out the door and Martha, she meets him there. But Mary's in the house, silent, weeping. It takes Martha and Mary. Martha is gung-ho, but sometimes we need to understand that God wants to give us a new perspective. And according to Philippians 4, 6, and 7, listen, we need to not worry about anything, but in everything with prayer and petition. It's saying instead of taking those things on ourselves, let's go sit at the feet of Jesus.
Amen. Come on.
Stop. Stop doing it. Stop toting it around. Quit. But listen, you will never understand the peace which transcends in verse 7. You will never experience the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. And it will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
That when we quit, when we stop, when we hand it over to Him, He wants to change your perspective this morning. So if you're a Martha, don't feel bad. You're not alone. I am too. We need to understand that all of the things that really matter in life are not causing you to worry. I'm going to say it again. If you're a Martha, a lot of us are in this room. The things that really matter in life are not the things causing you to worry. So here's the question. I want you to write this down. It'll be on the screen. You can worry about kingdom things. But that's not really what's burdening you, is it? Even Paul in the scripture tells us how he was tore up in life, how he worried, how he was anxious, how he longed to be for people, how he longed for more believers, how he longed to come and minister, how he worried and he had anxiety for God's kingdom work. And you know what? There is nothing in this world that will ever make God happier than that.
Come on.
Right, it's okay. If you can worry about kingdom things, it's okay to worry about kingdom things. But listen, whenever we're worrying, the things that really in this life that matter are not what's causing you to worry. So that question is still on the screen. It's okay for us to worry about kingdom things. We can worry about kingdom things. It's okay. But if we're honest this morning, that's not really what's burdening you, is it? That's not really what's troubling you. The things that are keeping you up at night is not about Susie down the street. The things not keeping you up at night is not for all the people across the street from his church that are over there probably right now bickering and fighting, and they can't see. They don't even know. It's so dark where they are, they can't even see the light. But that ain't keeping you up at night. According to the scripture, we need to get a new perspective. We need God's perspective. So all the things in our lives, we need to bring to Him. The things that are worrying you at night, you need to lay them down. You need to quit, because all it's going to do is tear you up, just like it does for Martha. And we need to sit at Jesus' feet like Mary. You know, there's some robbers. A new way of committing a robbery that didn't used to exist, because people get even more creative all the time at breaking the law. Hey, y'all notice that? People get better. It's like, man, these guys. You ever wonder how if a thief could be so smart, why couldn't they just get a real job? You ever thought about that? Am I the only one? I'm like, dude, that's pretty clever. You know what I'm saying? Why wouldn't you just use all that brain capacity to do something positive in your life? Anyway, that's a whole other sermon. But there is this tactic that they use nowadays, where a group of people will go to commit a robbery, and three or four of them will leave the group, and they'll go to a part of the store, and they'll cause a distraction. And when I say cause a distraction, they'll make a ruckus where every person in the store will go. All the people who work there will go to that part of the store, and they will get all of their attention. Even all the security cameras are focused in on what's going on. What are these people doing? They're losing their mind. What are they doing? How many of them is it? You know, they're all, everybody goes to that part of the store. And meanwhile, there's a couple of them that aren't up back there in that group. They're up front robbing the store blind. Right, they have no idea. As a matter of fact, in some cases, there's been a day or two go by before they realize that something huge is missing. They're like, man, these people ran off with, you know, they call the cops, and like, man, the other day, they don't even know that it's gone. And y'all, that I believe and I know that in our lives, that we allow the enemy to creep in. Even though we're believers, we allow, just like Martha, she's standing there and she's tore up and she's worried about what her sister's doing. She's worried about what the things that are happening around her. And the same thing, we allow the enemy to come in, and he will distract us in our lives, and he will take the priority in our lives, and he will distract us. And listen to this. The peace, the sereneness, the completely being satisfied in our lives leaves.
Come on.
And listen, sometimes it's days go by before you realize that it's gone. I want you to think about that for a moment. The enemy, he's the master of distraction. He's the master at lying. And what he'll do, he'll come into our lives and he will actually steal from us what God wants to give us. He wants to give us the peace that transcends all understanding. He wants us to sit at his feet. He wants us to not be overwhelmed, but overjoyed. He wants us to not be frantic, but serene. He wants us to be completely satisfied. And the enemy comes and he fills our minds and our schedules with all this stuff. And listen, before we even know it, we have lost all the things that God wants to bless you with. And it's already gone. And it's days have gone by before you realize it.
Amen.
You know, the word tells us, Jesus, the disciples, the Pharisees, they all want to know what is the most important command. And Jesus tells us that the most important thing is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your strength.
Amen.
Right? Jesus would tell you that's the most important thing in this life. And the second is to love your neighbor as yourself. So this morning, if we're going to get a new perspective, if God is going to give us a new perspective this morning, the only way it's going to happen is in relationship. Just like Mary sitting at his feet. The only way is one-on-one time with Jesus. If we are going to have a new perspective, if we're not going to let the enemy come in and distract us from what God has for us, the only way it's going to happen is one-on-one time, according to Jesus, to love God with all your heart, your soul, and your strength. See, when the enemy comes and he steals those things from us, when he distracts us, when he overwhelms us, whenever he takes over our hearts, he takes over our minds, he takes over our schedules, at that point, we can't even hear from God.
Amen.
But this morning, God just wants to tell you to stop letting him come in and distract you. Just like those robbers. Stop letting him take over. Start being satisfied with sitting at Jesus' feet. Start being satisfied with the relationship. Because listen to this. When you are in relationship with God, when you read the Word of God, when you spend time with Him, not just on Sunday and on Wednesday, but when you spend time in His Word, it doesn't matter even if it is only a devotion each day. Sit at Jesus' feet.
Amen.
Listen to what He has to say to you. He'll change your perspective. I'm telling you, there are days in my life where I run and I slide in on my knees and I say, Jesus, I need you to fill me up and I need it right now, because there's times where I feel like I'm about to lose my mind. So this morning, He wants us to have a new perspective. The only way that you'll have clarity in your life, y'all listen to this. The only way that you will have clarity in this life to where you can see things clearly is when you let the worry and distraction leave your life. See, what happens whenever the enemy is distracting you, he's distorting, he's seeping into your life, the clarity begins to leave. So that's why the relationship is important. You have to soak. And you have to refuse to let the enemy seep in. So here's the last note. I want you to write this down before you leave. Last one. When his perspective becomes yours, even the worldly becomes eternal. Last one. When his perspective becomes yours, even the worldly becomes eternal. I'm telling you, the kingdom does not work like the world works. And it doesn't make a whole lot of sense in the world standards. But listen to this. And this is the hardest thing. It's kind of like preaching on money. It's like, just trust me. God tells you that if you give, He will bless. When you give, He will bless. It's the same thing. It's hard for us to understand. But when you turn it over to Him, when you quit being Martha and you decide that you're going to bask with Him, when you're going to spend the time with Him, when you're going to give Him what He's asking you to give Him, which is your attention, your undivided attention. When you give Him that, When his perspective becomes yours, that's the only way that happens, is by one-on-one relationship, then the worldly becomes eternal. Let me tell you what I mean by that. In the beginning of the sermon, I was talking about all the things that we lay in bed at night worried about. Y'all stick with me here. All the things that you lay in bed and you worry about. I'm talking about the marriage. I'm talking about the children. I'm talking about the health. I'm talking about the finances. All of those things that you are worrying yourself about, Martha, all of them. When you see things from His perspective, when you give Him that one-on-one time that He's asking for, the things that you worry about will become eternal, each and every one of them. Your children will get saved. Right, your friends will come to know Jesus. Right, your finances will become His and He will start blessing you in them.
Amen.
Your health. You view your health completely different. Right, whenever you bask in His presence, you will start to see your body differently. You will start to understand that your body is a dwelling of the Holy Spirit. Everything, when His perspective becomes yours, everything changes. But it's one of those things that you have to say, listen, I am going to make the decision to trust Him.
Amen.
So this morning I want to ask you, do you trust Him? His Word is always true. And He's asking you this morning to sit at His feet, to be in relationship. He desires to change your perspective. Here's the invitation this morning. Mothers, just like Jesus, will do whatever it takes to make sure that your life is able to be lived at its fullest. That's a mouthful. I'm going to say it again. Mothers, just like Jesus, will do whatever it takes to make sure that you have life and that you have it to the fullest. I want you to think about your own mother. All the things that she gave up in order for you to have life to the fullest. Your own mother who gave her time, who gave her money, who made sure that you had the clothes when she didn't have clothes, who put you before herself. If there's ever a picture of Jesus, that's it. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
But I want to tell you this morning, here's the invitation. Listen, ladies in the room and men, this is for you too. Whenever the plane is going down, when the plane is about to crash and them oxygen masks fall from the ceiling of the plane, they will tell you, don't hook theirs up first because they can't survive without you. They tell you to put yours on before you put it on them. When the oxygen leaves the room, whenever things get terrible, you need to make sure that you're fed before you feed them. Y'all with me? This morning, ladies, I know the perspective is always that we have to put them first, but I want that Jesus wants us this morning, and each and every one of us in this room, as a matter of fact, to have a new perspective. That we must say, you know what? I've got to feed me so I can feed them. Ladies in the room, men in the room, if you have kids, you have got to be fed so that your perspective can be different. As a matter of fact, I would tell you that we never know how long our lives are. I know this is a kind of a taboo subject, but we can just be real in here this morning. You know, as parents, sometimes we might say, well, you know, little Johnny's got everything he could ever want. You know, I done got him a brand new iPad. I done got him a brand new phone. I done got him a brand new laptop. He's got everything he could ever. What's wrong with him? I'd ask you, have you bought him a Bible? Does he have a Bible? You know, if you want to buy him the brand new next whatever it is, buy him the brand new CSB. But we never know. Church, y'all listen to me. This is a little up close and personal, but it's okay. I'm your pastor. God calls me to talk to us this way. And we need to understand that death is a taboo subject. But we never know where the car accident is, where the cancerous cell is. We never know where that tragic accident might be. We never know. Children in this room, if you don't know Jesus, if you've not asked Jesus in your heart, ask your mom, ask your dad. I would tell you that whenever our parents pass away, we know death in a whole new way.
Amen.
When our parents pass away, death becomes real. You become to know death in a way that you didn't know death before. So the invitation this morning is that we can introduce death as something that's welcome. Right? It's okay. If we all know, listen, whenever we are so worried about all things and the enemy's distracting us, we can get all the way to the end, and we never know where the end is. And he can be successful in distracting us. But this morning, I want us to say, you know what? I'm going to feed myself first. I'm going to choose that I'm going to have what I need so that I can feed them. And we need to make sure that we feed them well. We feed our children, and we must make sure that they understand who Jesus is. And that when we pass on, that it's a celebration.
Amen.
It's new. It's something that's welcome. It's not something that is terrible, but it's something to where they can understand that Jesus is enough.
Amen.